Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Love makes you crazy. No more Smirnoff. And reunited, and it feels so good here on Stranger Things.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Apparently we brought the nerdy dancing back here to Stranger Things, Season 3, Episode 7, the penultimate episode of the season. It is called The Bite, and yes, I picked up on why very late. That is fine. I am Roxy Stryer here today to talk about Stranger Things, but I am not alone, and thank goodness, because you guys wouldn't like that very much. I am alongside an amazing panel, including somebody who is very well-versed in monsters and all things sci-fi. It is Angelica Trey.
Hello, hello. Give me that sci-fi goodness.
That was your best, like, you know, thing yet. You didn't try to do the monster in Russian.
You
just
sci-fied. You didn't call me a monster this time. I was like, all right, I'm going to do me.
I mean, you still are a monster, though. So let's just let that sit in.
Oh, man.
It's like a sleeping monster.
That's beautiful.
It's a little monster inside everybody.
Wow.
I think.
Thank you.
Maybe?
Is that sweet?
I'm getting looks from the nerds across the table right now. She did the OG after show for Netflix for Stranger Things. So she's been on this panel for a long time. It's Tiana Hobson.
Thanks for calling me old, Roxy. Yay!
No, just joking.
I've been there with you the whole time,
the whole time, too.
And also, do you want to tell the people what you said to me before we started the show?
Oh, that I'm old, yeah.
You want to tell them why?
Because I've been sitting all day and my knee really, really hurts.
So, who's calling who old right now?
Ooh. All right, well, if you're in the live chat on YouTube right now, you can call me pretty and nice and not old. How about that?
Or you guys could do what you want
because freedom
of speech, you know?
Freedom of speech.
That's how it works. And we're in the 80s, so we have even more freedom going on right now. Speaking of the 80s, my boy, 80s expert, even though he was born way after that. It's Ryan Nelson.
Way after. Not going to tell you how far after, but way after. Guys, I can't wait to sink my teeth into this episode called The Bite.
You could have just stopped at sink your teeth. I think they would have gotten the reference, but you had to go all the way, huh?
All the way.
All the way, May.
Well, this show definitely goes all the way, and we are going to break it down because possibly the craziest episode yet. Absolutely so much going on. And like I mentioned, we've got finally our team back together by the end of this. So, of course, we'll get there. We also had some really sad moments in this episode. I think we shed a couple of tears for our boy, Alexei Smirnoff. I don't know which name I like calling him better, so I'll just use Smirnoff as his last name. Pretend like that.
I like it.
But, of course, we also have our amazing special segment from Ryan. That's so 80s, so you're going to want to stay tuned until the end, and some news and gossip from Angelica that I can't wait to hear. But before we get to any of that, I want to know, episode 7, we only have one left. Angelica, how did you feel about this episode?
Oh man, we are escalating into full zombie flick here.
Yeah, we're in zombie mode.
Yeah, it's getting intense, and I think it's just survival is just the main thing at this point. I'm loving some of the love twists that we have right now, and there's a lot of love going on.
And yes, and not in all the expected ways that you think. T, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm nervous for everyone's lives. Everyone's at stake. L's leg, I'm nervous for that. We need to talk about this, and then I need to see the last episode.
Ryan has some very strong thoughts on that leg situation.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They are going to need to cut that off. If they're following with this zombie theme that they've been going on from episode 1, George Romero, Dawn of the Dead, they got to chop that leg off, you guys.
I've never seen somebody so excited to chop a little girl's leg off as you are.
I was worried. I was actually a little frantic. What else are they going to do?
Is that why you started the chop it off chair?
They got to chop it off.
Okay.
Do it.
I don't know.
Cowards.
I don't know. Other than that, how'd you feel about the episode, though?
I love this episode. This was a consequential episode. I feel a lot of things are coming to a head, but we're now realizing that a lot of the bickering, a lot of the foreplay with some of these relationships, doesn't matter. Get to the point. Hopper, Joyce, come on, let's just get it over with. You care about each other, admit it. And there's bigger things at stake. Elle got her foot bitten on.
Yeah, that's true. Leg. The bite.
The bite.
Somebody took a bite out of that, and let's take a bite out of this. Let's see how many times I can make a bite pun in this episode.
Love it. Okay.
Because we still have, like, lick, bite, chomp, eat.
Nah.
You know, there's a lot of... Somebody go to thesaurus.com, maybe help me out. So let's gnaw our way into the fair. Nope.
Chew.
Let's take a big chew on the fair. Mm. No, it's getting worse?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to impress Tiana, and it's just not happening. No. Okay, fine. Let's just talk about the fair, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's move on to this fair. This is a fair that we have been seeing. It's been building for every single episode. Literally, they have been building the fair. And now we are here. Something about Cariella's face in this makes me want to punch it as he's giving his big mayor speech, because government and stuff,
government.
You know?
Politics.
Just looking at him, I'm like, you just have the most punchable face here.
And he even admitted he spent a ton of money on this fair. It's just, yeah.
2.5 million.
I'm very aware of the makeup he's wearing as the mayor of this town.
Yo, he's got a lot
of makeup
on.
He's got a lot of makeup on.
What is that?
I mean, I know HD, but like...
You think it's like in his rider?
I kind of feel like maybe because he got his butt kicked the other day by Hopper, he maybe purposely, like, his character put makeup on as well to cover some of the bruises.
As you wish, baby. As you wish. Okay. So we're at this fair, and the Wheelers are there, and we get to see them actually somewhat happy together, which if you start at the beginning of the season, you know that she was debating walking out and hooking up with Billy. Yep. Probably not the smartest idea considering where he's at. She could be Heather right now, okay? Let's just take a second and think about that.
Yeah.
But we see them, they're on the Ferris wheel. She gives Jimmy a 5, and that means you get to stay at the top for the fireworks. If I'm underneath her, I am thinking, you are the biggest B-I-T-C-H. Like, are you kidding me? Now I'm stuck down here.
Watching the fireworks, 4th of July at the bottom.
So lame. Did you guys think something was going to happen in this moment? Because the second Little Wheeler starts seeing all of the trees moving, I'm thinking, oh, she's dead. They're going to kill this little girl right now.
I got Jurassic Park vibes and thought that T-Rex was coming out of those things and was going to start eating up the Ferris wheel.
Absolutely. It looked like the tree was moving, the thing in the trees was moving towards them, not away from them, but that was not necessarily the case.
Right. It did look like it was coming towards them. It fits that theme that the children notice more in the show than any of the adults. They're onto it way early on, and Mrs. Wheeler is just as out of the loop as she's ever been.
I also think it's something in life as well. I've seen a lot of parents. I'm not a parent. I'm not here to judge you. But walking around Disneyland and stuff, you see kids trying to tell their parents stuff, and their parents are just dragging them along, not paying attention to anything that the child's doing. So I think it's kind of a reflection of real world and this world.
I think it's also easier to believe things as a kid because you're not set in your ways that there's no such thing as a monster, right? Like, if somebody was going to try to tell me that there was a mind flayer or a demogorgon or a demi-dog in the world, I would be like, you legitimately need to put it in front of me to believe that, because I will not believe what you're saying. But we see from Dustin telling Erica. Erica's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, you just kind of like, as a kid, whatever somebody tells you, yeah, okay. If you say that, then it's true.
I mean, Robin was pretty believing, too.
Robin's kind of a kid still, though.
Yeah, okay, we'll count her in the kid. She's teen, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, I was definitely a kid at that age. I'm
definitely.
I mean, okay. All right, we'll accept it.
Not 2020, she's like 18, 19.
Yeah, well, they just graduated, so probably right around there, 18 years old. So yeah. I do not want 18-year-old Roxy being considered an adult.
Okay.
I just don't think so.
I'll count it as kid.
So we're at the fair, and some really fun things are happening, you know? Like, we want to show Alexi around because he's never been to a fair of this kind. And, you know, America's great. And
it's rigged.
Capitalism.
Home of the free and the brave. Capitalism, yeah, totally. Let's rock on with their bad selves. Why don't you go try to play that rigged game over there, Alexi? Boom.
That was not very subtle, though.
The second you knew he was smiling,
so happy.
And that shot, that perfect shot of him and Murray looking at each other with all that distance between them, you knew there was no way they were going to make it to one another.
And even the slow motion when you see Grigori walking up with the gun, and you still see Murray in the background waving these hot dogs on a stick, all excited about it, and like, yeah! And then you know what's going to happen, and it's just so sad.
Yeah.
Because the fair is supposed to be a happy place, not a place of death.
Yeah. Angelica, they were your bromance, you said. That was your ship.
Yes, that was my ship. You know, it doesn't have to be too intimate or anything. It's a bromance. And I was definitely shipping that bromance. So I was really sad to see that happen.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Especially after their backseat, talking about Hopper and Joyce in Russian, giggling with each other. That was just...
Exactly.
Everything. Yeah, that very true. I mean, after Alexi and Murray decided that Joyce and Hopper should definitely go to Bone Town, it felt like they were bonding. They had this like lovely bonding experience. Maybe it split Joyce and Hopper apart, but it definitely brought Alexi and Murray together because they couldn't even believe that they hadn't boned. which I was thinking about it.
We've all been wondering that, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but it's so crazy that they haven't even had that. What is it that's stopping them? What is it because of the fact that her ex-boyfriend died? Is it because they're scared of losing people still? Why aren't they boning?
They're just nervous, and there's so much going on right now. They're distracted, and I think they're just each afraid. I think Hopper was put off. He tried earlier in the season to take her out to dinner. And things were going on around the town with the magnets.
He said not as a date, though.
But it was a date.
But why didn't he just say that?
I think he was afraid. I think they nailed it on the head in this episode. He called her. He called him out. He said, you were burned in the past by opening up, so now you're all closed off. You won't say what's on your mind. I think they kind of laid it out on a silver platter right there. Even the Russian guy, Alexi, knew. He was like, oh, they haven't done it.
Yeah.
No, and they just cracked up. She's been too afraid, and he's been too afraid.
Well, nothing makes you realize life is short like somebody dying at a fair. Mm. So maybe this will be the thing that makes them...
Hey, even they grabbing each other's hands on the ride.
Yeah.
That they should have come off of vomiting, just in my humble opinion.
That's a terrible ride.
It's a horrible ride.
Also, you can't really bite your nose despite your face in that situation. The woman who is controlling the ride, just like, oh, well, screw them if they're not getting the law. Boom. Like, they might die if you do that.
She called him Magnum.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Ooh, this is fun. Jeremiah Brown in the chat just said they actually have had sex years ago, way before season one. It was hinted at in season one, at least.
Mm. Hinted at.
So there's tension.
Yeah.
Okay, old tension, old flame.
Because I do vaguely remember, I feel like it was... maybe in high school, because then they go to high school. Like, they've known each other for a very long time.
Do we know it's sex, or could it have been a make-out?
Maybe a make-out.
Maybe a
boobie feel? They've been intimate in some way.
She's seen him naked.
Yes. That's true. She likes what she sees, clearly.
Tension. Tension galore.
She's had his clothes soaking wet. You know, all of that stuff. But the Russians come and kill our fun and all of our dreams of them boning at this fair because they are out for vengeance. Yes, they kill Alexi, but that's not the only person that they're after. We also see them spot Joyce and Hopper. At this point, are they after Joyce in any way, or is she collateral damage?
I think she's collateral damage. I think Hopper has been on the radar since day one. That's why he was following him to that that old hospital and beat him up. But this is a Terminator going after Sarah Connor. It's just that it's Hopper.
That's the target. That's the target. So that's who they're going after. Because even when Hopper and Joyce split up, no one went after Joyce. They still just stayed on Hopper in the fun house. Which it's always a fun house, right? At the fair that the 100%. Shooting and
always.
Everything happens at.
Speaking of which, stay out of the fun house.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's a not-so-fun house.
I'm surprised they didn't end up in, like, the goofy mirror section.
They kind of did.
Paul Mears for a moment.
That's how he ended up getting Terminator. Hopper was able to get him, but unfortunately... Guy was wearing a vest. Yeah. But a little convenient, if you ask me. But also, if you ask me, why isn't everybody in this town wearing a bulletproof vest? Why don't we get bulletproof vests for our police officers?
Why isn't the government still there? There's a lot of questions to
be asked. A lot of questions. The government should definitely have a base in Hawkins at this point.
Yeah. Probably money.
They can't afford them any extras.
Well, they have a corrupt mayor, so, you know, there's money from somewhere.
Definitely true. And at the end of this all... Are you guys feeling confident that Joyce and Hopper and Murray in their getaway are going to be fine? Or are you guys feeling like the Russians have a leg up on them?
I think the Russians have a leg up on them right now. I think they are straight up on the run. They went to the fair the festival to look for their kids. And Mrs. Wheeler told him, I haven't seen them in days. I've lost track. They were at Lucas's house. They were at Dustin's house. I don't know where they are. It's like, come on, figure out where your kids are.
But I don't think she's aware of what was going on.
She wasn't.
So she doesn't have reason to be on high alert in the same way that the other parents do.
Totally true. I just think that that's why they went to the fair, and now they don't even know where these kids are.
Well, yeah. No, they know now. I think that they actually...
The mall?
I think that they're actually a step ahead with the Russians now because they took that walkie-talkie with them and overheard that they have the kids at the mall.
Oh, they
and so they're on their way there
oh,
now.
No,
so
I was saying the Wheelers didn't know.
Oh, the Wheelers. The Wheelers. Right. I was talking about... Okay.
The Wheelers are not panicked about where their kids are. They're like, oh, they're at Dustin's, Lucas's, or whatever, because they're living in the land of rainbow and sunshine. You know?
Yeah, they got the one kid. They're good.
Yeah, they're still in the 80s. They're like, well, our kids are safe AF.
It's summer.
Yeah. Summer of Hot Girls. What is that?
Hot Girl Summer.
Hot Girl Summer, yeah. I've just been seeing
City
that.
City Boy Summer.
Oh, it's all culminating at the mall, though.
Yeah.
It is all leading there.
It's
Let's
yeah.
go to the mall, baby. Yeah, it absolutely is. So let's jump over to some of our mall rats. That was a different episode. Steve and Robin, possibly my went from being my least favorite to my favorite part of this episode. I was so nervous about Steve and Robin this entire time. Number one, because I ship Steve and Nancy. Number two, because there's something that's been off about the chemistry between Steve and Robin, and now we know why. So a few episodes ago when it seemed like Robin was declaring her undying love for Steve, that was for sure not what was going on.
I love that you looked me dead in the eye as you said that with a little tinge of attitude behind it.
So much attitude. Not just a tinge.
I am the first to admit that I was so pro Robin and Steve. And I even said on the last show, yes, she was definitely in love with him all throughout high school. And you know what? I was wrong, and
yes,
I can admit
were.
That.
Because love is love, baby, and she's in love with Tina Tipsy.
Tammy Thompson.
Yeah.
Guess who Steve is not in love
who?
With?
Who?
Nancy Wheeler.
No, that's not
Ooh,
true. That's not what we found out.
He said no more.
Here is what... No, okay. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's into another girl. Are you really going to admit you're still in love with your ex? So she says, aren't you in love with Nancy? And he says, no.
I'm in love with this other girl.
And she says, why not? And he says, because I found somebody better suited for me. Which, obviously, spoiler alert, Robin is not better suited for him because she likes women. So.
Keeping the door open, I guess, for Nancy. But that scene was almost horrible. I gotta say, we were all cringing because this. I thought this was leading up to a big moment where she was blushing. Oh, he's talking about me. That moment's not only really great twist and totally believable. The pieces were there. They built that up. I didn't see it coming, but it saved that entire relationship, in my opinion.
And not just, yeah, exactly, not just the scene, but the relationship, because we see them, they are like hammered together, and Dustin and Erica are trying to save their butts, and they just, there's something about it that was like siblings, annoying siblings together that they were doing, and it was like, really, we're going to pin these two together? But I feel like that was a conscious choice of the actors now, because, or at least on Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman's daughter, because she knew who her character was.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Really fascinating that the show decided to tell the story. And I wonder, because we're in episode 7, we're probably not going to have time to really explore this season, but it's definitely setting us up for a season 4, Robin, who she talks to about this, how she feels. We're still in the 80s, remember? So I was pretty impressed with Steve's reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very mature, especially for Steve, because you just never quite know. And I think Steve is always full of surprises, because from season 1, he was super douchebag Steve, and he has been better in the last couple seasons. He's been growing and maturing, so I loved his reaction and that they just instantly went back to being best friends.
Yeah.
And friends.
Well, I think the thing that's dynamic about Steve is we saw Steve dad Steve in season 2, and yes, he's playful with the kids, but he's still pretty mature. He's a very understanding guy. So maybe season 4, Nancy and Steve, I don't know.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah?
It did take Steve a minute to understand what Robin was saying, though. He was like, but that's a chick.
A little too long.
A little too long, but then I would probably imagine this is the first person that's ever come out to him. Maybe not, but...
I mean, yeah.
Presumably.
I mean, we talked about it before. I love that the show alluded towards, or had that comment about Will's... whole thing that we talked about. You know, are they saying that Will's gay, or if it's just a maturity thing, or not into women yet? And then we're so over here focused on that, and then bam, they hit you with the Robin stuff. And I love the maturity, and that it's the 80s, so this is a hard subject to approach because it's right at the start of like the AIDS and everything, and that's all people are associating with being gay. So it's really nice to see this small town and someone being so open and accepting.
Do you guys think that this show would have, and obviously it's realistic for it to be the case, but I don't know if this show would do it, and I'm curious what you guys think, both Robin be a lesbian and Will be gay, and next season those both be storylines. Do you think that this show would tackle that?
I think this show could tackle anything at this point.
I'm not saying could, would. Do you think that they would, based off what we've seen so far?
I think if Robin makes it out, they will definitely keep her involved in the series because she's played such a big role this season, so you don't just drop someone off like that. So if she survives, I definitely think they're going to pursue that. In terms of Will, I think it depends on the time jump. And at this point, whatever that comment really meant, it did mean that right now he's just not into, I think, anything. He just wants to play with his friends. So I think we'll see where everyone's at the end of the season. As of now, I don't think they're going to pursue anything with Will if he's this age next season.
Robin coming out, if anything, reassured for me that they are not going to kill her. I think the Duffer brothers are pretty aware, and with the Kill Your Gays entire thing that's been going on, that's the name of what's it called? Not a campaign. It's the name of the movement right now, that so many shows do this. Somebody comes out or they kill off their gay characters. They seem to have their ear to the ground and know that that's not an okay thing that all of these shows are doing. So I would be shocked if in episode 7 Robin comes out and then in episode 8 we kill her off. That would seem super duper unaware of 2019.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. It could also be a vessel for them to introduce another strong female character next season, because season 1 we were introduced to 11, season 2 we got Max, season 3 we got Erica and Robin.
Yeah.
So this
and
could
Nancy's
be,
just gotten yeah, stronger and stronger.
Nancy's been
she's
getting
gone.
Stronger and stronger.
And who?
MVP. She's the MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Like, MVP. Who's that?
They've been doing so well with just bringing in actual strong female characters this season. It's been really inspiring, actually. So.
Completely agree. But this scene was amazing, and then it gets broken up. It gets broken up because Dustin's pissed. He told you guys to stay right where you were. He was busy trying to phone his friends to try to save your butts, and you guys are just on drugs and stuff, which is not cool. Don't do drugs.
On drugs. They were drugged.
You're on drugs.
Yeah. It was not optional.
I was a little concerned because when we find out they're burning up and all that stuff, I was thinking, are they given something that you need an anecdote? Yeah. Say the word?
Antidote.
Yeah.
Like antidote.
Guys, I've been at this a long time.
But not pronounced.
Antidote, too. And that's why they're going to just keep getting sicker and sicker. Now they're puking. Are they going to get... But it seemed like they're fine by the end of this.
They just had to work it off.
Oh.
I don't know.
It's a bad trip.
Yeah.
Should have taken so many drugs, kids. Again, they were drugged.
They were drugged.
Okay. Well, you know, six of one, half a dozen the other. So while we're doing that, our ice cream kids.
It changes every single time.
They have decided to call our other kids because they need help. So we've walkied them for the 50th time this season because we are now done stuck ourselves. We cannot get out of this situation without help. We've done as much as we can. Dustin's been awesome. Erica's been awesome. Steve and Robin have been awesome. But they cannot take this any further. They are screwed without their friends.
Yeah. And they don't even know what's happening outside of the mall and what's happening underground. They know that the portal's trying to be open, but they don't know that there's already a mind flayer on the ground here.
They know nothing.
They know nothing.
Jon Snow. They just don't. So we got to talk to our other kids who are a little busy.
They're getting chased by a gigantic monster.
Well, I don't know if we call it a chase as much as stuck in a cabinet first.
Trapped.
You know, it's not a lot of running, just more hiding, screaming.
Classic zombie scene where you're boarding out the windows. Mm-hmm. Wow. And just surrounded. It was harking back to season 1 when they're trapped in Will's house. what a really cool sequence.
And it's just a classic, like, trope, right? To have a bunch of kids, teens, in a cabin in the woods. So it's just classic horror just trope there.
I really thought about this, though. If I'm in that position, am I running into the cabin and boxing it up and locking everything? Or am I running out of the cabin into the woods?
I have had this problem a lot this season with what people's choices are when being chased by monsters. In the hospital last episode, Nancy and Jonathan kept running into rooms that were locked and you can't get out of.
And you know oatmeal can get through.
Well, now we know that, too. Yeah. So, yes, I'm concerned for them locking themselves inside, but I also realize that in the woods, what's the alternative if you all want to be together to fight this thing at the same time?
But what do you do? What do you do, Ryan? Are you running into the cabin or into the woods?
I think with those options, and it was so close by, you had to go into the cabin because you got weaponry. That's where they got the shotgun. That's where they got the axe. So I like that. I was a little confused why the monster didn't mush its way inside. Instead, it's sending those tentacle arms that were, they reminded me of King Kong a little bit when they're in the bug alley. But yeah, that was a really interesting scene. I think Eleven proved that she could still take that monster. And they all worked really well as a team there.
Mushing itself inside takes time, I believe.
It would take time.
It would have had to seep on through, and then it would have just blown the roof off the house.
The roof off the place.
Yeah, wouldn't have been the smartest choice from a monster perspective.
I think the monster wanted to show just how big and strong it is this time.
Because
it was flexing. The last time they saw it in the hospital was before the huge merger happened.
I was excited.
So this was a big flex.
Yeah, and I was excited to see our kids actually do something this time. You know, we see Nancy and Jonathan go for the axe and the gun. We see Lucas actually do some axing action. Obviously, Eleven always helping, but the other kids have gotten tougher, and they're ready to fight this monster as well. It doesn't have to just be Eleven alone. Now, can we do it without Eleven? Of course not, but I was happy that at least somebody else was doing something.
They all stepped in, but it came at a cost because she got bit. Big time.
I forgot about my my goal of the episode.
She got gnawed.
Yeah. I have a lot of time to make up for. You know, it was a very toothy moment.
Sink your teeth in, right?
Yeah, I got it. That was better.
It was great, but I mean, so that was a major shock to me that she got. So she got bit in the leg, and immediately they have to move on and try to figure out how to save her. But that was after she split the monster's head in half.
Yeah, which was crazy. So a couple of different things happened. They chopped the hands off multiple times, and different people are able to do that. And then ultimately, they're shooting in the mouth, and chopping the hand, and then Eleven's able to half the monster, at least to a certain point. But clearly that didn't really negatively affect the monster.
I'm glad you guys just told me that, because my eyes were closed. I didn't know she split the monster in half.
But it didn't really do anything. It kind of just, wilted to this, Little Shop of Horrors. It was I know it's Little Shop of Horror. Yeah. I'm just saying Little Shop of Horrors did. Okay.
Right.
It was like the Venus flytrap. It just opened more.
Just peeled open, I guess.
More. The bite.
That's the hard part, though, with these kinds of monsters is, if it's something that you can just cut off a limb and it can sort of reshape, right? How do you defeat something like that?
I don't know.
Heat.
Heat it up.
We need some fire.
Fireworks.
But I don't know how that ultimately ends up keeping it defeated. It seems like it's in pain when it's heated, but that doesn't last forever. So maybe heat and then
put it in the portal,
lock it up.
Well, then you have to make sure you get every drop of blood that comes out of it, because what we saw in the convenience store was a pile of blood that started bubbling and oozing. Like it was still alive.
Great point, T. Let's move over to that convenience store, because we get there and literally nobody has any hustle.
Get her a bowl.
Where's your hustle?
Lucas.
Lucas.
It was Nancy.
And Nancy. Nancy's walking.
Nancy and Jonathan they're literally walking until they stop walking and they start talking.
It's like there's a 14-year-old bleeding out.
She's
in aisle
bleeding
5.
Out. And Lucas is looking at fireworks, and Nancy and Jonathan are having a casual Sunday brunch conversation.
Yeah, but we've been seeing this the whole time, right? With the hospital, you're like, guys, why are you all flirting right now? This is such a bad time, and they're doing it time and time again.
This was next level stuff right now, though, because they are literally, they have one job to do, save Elle's leg, and they are just, if you were bleeding on the floor, T, and I was just like,
look at those fireworks.
I'll get a bowl. run. Yeah. Right. Hustle. Elle's not even saying, like, can somebody do something? Mike's sitting there, and that's what he decides to tell her. You know, sometimes people do crazy things. You never heard of that, Elle? That crazy thing?
No, Mike. Crazy thing. No, Mike, I've spent all my time with you. You're the only person I talk to ever. How would I hear that phrase?
I know no references. Literally none. I did not know who Wonder Woman
yeah,
was.
Yeah, and clearly Hopper gave her the birds and the bees talk, right?
Yeah, and also Beyonce is not around yet, so Crazy in Love does not exist. So what is my reference point? This was a ridiculous scene where you just have to decide, okay, I'm in. Because, like, if you actually analyze it, it doesn't make any effing sense. So I just had to be like, okay, I'm in. Everybody's slow as crap, and they're going to get to her when they do. But what we finally look at when we see her leg, and ultimately they end up leaving the place, what's left behind is breathing blood.
Breathing blood. Breathing it was moving blood. Around. That it really reminded me of a few 80s horror movies, but the blood was certainly alive.
Yeah.
So maybe the monster's in 11.
It is. It definitely is.
Or something of that sort, but we have another job to do. We can't even focus on that because we got to go save our friends.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Our friends.
Why?
I was just kind of being commentary.
No, I got you. Yeah. I've got you, babe.
We got you.
So Elle is able at least to use her powers to tap in a little bit because walkie-talkies are doing no good. We are hearing nothing from this, and we have to figure out where's Dustin? Because, like, didn't we ask that episode, too?
Where's Dustin?
Knock, knock, who's there? Not Dustin. He's not there.
But we know where he is now. We gotta go save him. But even the way that this episode did it was so great because by the time Dustin, Steve, Erica, and Robin are behind the counter, I have forgotten that the cavalry is coming. So I was surprised when the Russians come up to hurt them that... when the car starts moving, I was thinking, who's in the car?
Right.
That moment felt so good.
So good.
Really to watch. Powerful. Yeah, when it just, like, you saw the car moving, we're all like, what? Who set this off? And we look up. Oh.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes of the show so far. That one and going into the next one, which is when they're all reunited and talking, discussing what's
over
happening.
Each other. Yeah.
What a great sequence.
The way that was shot. It was so cool.
Filling everyone in.
Yeah. There are Russians? Wait, there's a monster?
Wait, did she move that car with her mind? Yeah, keep up.
Keep up.
Come on, Robin. This is like maybe the third time this season we've gotten a scene like this, and they keep getting better, because even a couple episodes ago when... someone said, you know when it's like when you ride a roller coaster and drop down, and everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, no. You know, I love those kind of scenes, and I feel like it's been building and building, and now we get this epic big one with all these characters that we love all talking over each other. It was a lot of fun.
But the major point of concern with all that, though, is right after she moves the car, everyone's reunited, it's nice, she collapses, and it's her leg.
Well, yeah, it is her leg, but even before that, Ryan, my major concern is... she just killed four men.
I think she's killed before, though.
Totally, but are we just... is that...
wait, we're going to start getting picky about killing people because I'm pretty sure Dustin killed somebody. People stabbing people in hospitals.
I'm not picky. I'm concerned. Does this have no psychological effect on any of them?
I was more affected by Dustin, like, zapping... a scientist dead.
I don't think he made it. I mean, he was limp.
Nancy and Jonathan definitely killed those guys.
For sure, Nancy and Jonathan, they're a little older. I know that I didn't say Steve was an adult, but Nancy does feel a little more adult than Steve. But Elle's a straight-up child. And she's moving a car, and she just murdered four men.
I think it was either them or the Russians. So... She didn't really have a choice. They were going over there. They were all converging at one spot. He was radioing the other Russians, and guns were drawn. They were either going to shoot the ice cream troopers, or she had to stop them. And, I mean, I think she could have distracted them and hit them with the car. There was really no way around it.
It was kill or be killed.
She could have stole their guns, like, with her telekinesis.
Great point. Guys, didn't think of that.
It's the Russians.
But are we...
the Russians.
Are we ever going to address this? But she is now a girl who is killing, just straight up, and based off her own law, what she's decided. She is jury executioner. Judge, jury, executioner.
Okay. It was kill or be killed. I think, that's got to have an impact on a child. And I know she did that when she was leaving the lab in season one. I think she killed a few people in season two. It was always a life or death situation, because at the end of season two, where that one episode when she, I think she went off to look for her mom, she finds the guy that did this to her, and she's about to kill him, but then she notices that he has a family. Mm-hmm. So that was the greater good. And I think that's been a theme with this entire season, really, is the greater good. I mean, we saw a similar beat with Mrs. Wheeler when she was about to go cheat on her husband, and then she saw him with their daughter. She realized the greater good. I gotta stay with them, even though it might not be the best. So I think that was this. She had to kill those Russians for the greater good.
Okay. As long as we're okay with it.
I mean, I don't think we're okay with it. The chat has some opinions as well.
All right, give it to me, too.
Art Master Austin Prophet says, they're all little killers.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, the mystic with lipstick, yeah, but she has been exposed to killing since a young age. It may not faze her as much. Jeremiah Brown says, they don't need to address her kill count at all. She was raised in a lab.
Okay.
Good
okay.
points there.
So that exempts her from... I just don't know if I want a teenage girl who's peeping in on her boyfriend deciding who should live and die. Like, it just is a little... I can see some issues arising season four with this.
I don't think she's deciding. Like, she... Oh. I feel like her hand is forced here, right?
Is this a Khaleesi...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Ooh. Yeah, no, yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Honestly, maybe.
That's
because
a great point.
And who's going to check her?
No one.
Because they can't.
Hopper has been, but he's not there.
But she's not bloodthirsty. You know what I mean? Like, that's not Elle. Elle saves her friends, but it's always like a do or die situation. And I think it's not going to be like, I need to take control.
And it's never like a point blank, I'm killing you. It's an indirect effect of her magical
power. What happens when one of her friends is in the wrong?
Roxy, you're asking these questions, and I don't like them.
I get it. So let's move forward to Ryan was just talking about. Yo, your leg is messed up, girl.
Messed up.
To the point where you pass out onto the ground, and we look at your leg, and it's not looking good. And Ryan, knowing 80s how you do, you're telling me we got to get it off?
Yeah, I mean... I was definitely reacting to it maybe a little bit too much, sort of comedically, but
Ryan.
I honestly, full-fledged, true prediction, they're going to need to cut her leg off if she's going to remain the same, because that it looked like it was traveling. All of her leg was red at that point. It looks like some kind of virus is in her, and it keeps going. It's not the same as Billy, where I think you can just like burn whatever's inside of him out of him.
Why isn't it the same?
Because this was something bitter. It's like a zombie. When you get bit by a zombie, you either have to cut off the limb or you're going to get infected.
I've seen Walking Dead, okay? I know.
Yeah. Just draw a hot bath. It doesn't like heat.
Yeah.
Draw a hot bath.
Come on.
At least try it. Before you go to chop it off, try that.
Yeah. You gotta try that.
Try something.
Do the heat thing. Why are we trying to cut off whole limbs here? It's in her blood.
Jonathan has an axe.
It's in her blood, though, Ryan.
What
it's
in the
in
80s?
Her system.
Yeah. What in the 80s is the situation when you lose a limb?
Well, I'm thinking it's all these zombie movies we've been talking about. The Romero trilogy. Right. Dawn of the Dead takes place in a mall. One of the characters gets bit and they have to cut off the limb.
And then what happens?
And then they were fine. I mean, they died eventually, but like,
okay,
they were fine.
Like prosthetic wise, like what are we?
That would be a lot. That would be an expensive thing for season four if she makes.
Not
it
even
there.
Just expensive, but what would her ability be in the 80s? It's so different than it is today with what they're able to do and create.
It's a good question. There are Russian scientists with advanced technology nearby.
And
maybe
depends on how
them.
High they would have to cut it off. Does she have to be in a wheelchair then?
You're right. I just don't know how she's. How else is she gonna get healthy?
It's like a snake bite. You suck the venom out, dude. It's not easy.
That's what I'm
just saying. Suck the venom out.
Suck it back out.
Be a man.
Show the girl you love her, man.
Yeah.
Suck that. Love is crazy.
Are you crazy in love?
How crazy in love are you?
How willing yourself?
How far are you willing to go to prove your love, Mike?
Great question. Mm. Great question. We see you, Ryan. I mean, Mike. Ooh. We see you.
Oh. I don't think that was an accident.
Whatever.
But I'm just... It's in her blood system. We've passed the point of just cutting off a limb. You have to either, tourniquet it? Yeah, like, tie it off, or you have to... Immediately, or you're done. It's already in her system. Her blood
clearly. Interesting that Max knew that. She was like, what are you doing?
She skateboards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was like, first you gotta stop the bleeding. You can't just clean it. It's gonna keep going.
And Max was like, do you even skate?
Yeah, bro.
Come
love
on.
Love that.
I don't know either. Well, a leg cut off.
There's only one thing that we can do to find out, which is watch the next episode. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, we've got a super special segment for you guys. That's so 80s.
All right, you guys, That's So 80s, Episode 7, The Bite. This episode was Back to the Future. Love it. We had the Alan Silvestri score at one point when Dustin was walking the other group. I absolutely love that. That was probably really expensive to get the rights to, but what an incredible scene. Like, we had all these Back to the Future beats. At the end of Back to the Future, they fly away in a car, and at the end of this episode, she tossed a car into a bunch of Russians. So a little bit of a parallel right there. The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. Major meta reference from Lucas earlier in the episode when they were in the convenience store. He was saying that the remake of Howard Hawks' 1951 film, The Thing, the John Carpenter remake in the 80s, yeah, the original's a classic, but the newer, the remake, was sweeter, bolder, and better. I think that was a meta commentary on this show as a whole. It's talking about all these different movies and shows that it's taking from. And yeah, they're classics, they're great, but this newer one, this version, is sweeter and bolder. And I think we see that with Robin being a lesbian. I think we see that with scenes between Mrs. Wheeler and Nancy. I think that this show was kind of making its stamp, saying, yeah, we see you, 80s, but we're doing it better.
One up.
One up. And last
baby.
But not... One up, baby. And last but not least, we had the Terminator guy got shot up at the end. That was exactly an exact scene from the Terminator, getting shot up and getting back up again.
So we're talking about the Coca-Cola, right? Right before that?
Right before
the newer
that.
Boulder?
Kind of
okay.
Sipping the Coca-Cola.
The new Coke.
The new Coca-Cola.
Yeah, super fancy, way better.
That's so 80s, you guys.
Okay.
So 80s.
Well, sometimes I just wish we were back there, and then I remember that there's a lot of monsters running around, and I'm feeling okay about
don't be in
2019
Hawkins.
Right now.
We're
yeah.
blessed to be here.
But, like, they're going to take over the world, right?
I mean, the
there's
Russians
a lot
are
of
here
demodogs.
In 2019, too, so I'm not sure which one's better.
On that note, let's get to news and gossip.
I got some news. So in case you guys haven't already heard, the Duffer brothers were previously in an idea theft lawsuit from Charlie Kessler, who claimed that the brothers had allegedly stole an idea from them at a 2014 Tribeca Film Festival. However, according to Variety, the trial was set to begin on Tuesday, but in a statement on Sunday by Kessler, he admitted that the brothers have shown that they came up with the idea on their own. So the lawsuit is officially dropped, you guys.
Wow, that's insane. This was a really long saga that was going on, and the brothers were really concerned because what the lawsuit was calling for was them to show what their plans were for season 3 and ultimately for the finale of the final, whatever that was, what was going to ultimately happen. And they were saying, this is a public trial. We're not going to just release our plans for this. That's crazy.
It's a tough situation.
Yeah. Well,
really
now
tough.
They don't have to deal with it. It's
yeah.
been dropped.
So, congratulations to everybody involved that you don't have to go through all of that. And
yeah,
I hope there was no foul play at hand, and it doesn't seem like there was.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's pretty great.
And again, goes back to the original, sweeter, bolder, and better.
Oh, yeah. Hey-o,
hey-o. Well, I don't know about you guys. Actually, I do know about you guys. We got to go watch episode 8 because we have no other option. I have to know what happened here on Stranger Things. But in the meantime, Angelica, where can people keep up with you?
Okay, you guys can find me at most social media platforms, @Aytrae, AYYTRAE, and Instagram at Angelica Trae.
And you can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to all my YouTube live chatters in here tonight. You guys are amazing. Remember, no spoilers.
Definitely keep chatting, you guys.
Oh, no spoilers. Again, they were spoiling?
Oh, you guys are happy you didn't see this
you guys
one.
Do not deal with the wrath of Tiana.
Stop yeah, it. I don't like things ruined for me.
Ryan?
Yikes.
Say something better than that.
Say something better than that. You guys, you can find me at Ryan's Nilsson on Twitter and Instagram. They are cutting the leg off this episode, and I just don't want any of our people to die.
I think somebody's going to go. You guys can find me at Roxy Stryer, us at AfterBuzz TV, and thank you so much to Brianna Phipps in the booth for helping us out producing. We'll see you guys for episode 8.
Oh. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.